Rob Kendall speaking with Brian Woodard, the head coach of the Plainfield Quakers. Coach, how's it going?
Doing very well, Rob, and yourself?
I'm doing great. Look, I got to say, this is a little bittersweet for me because obviously this is going to be our last year together. And so before we kind of get into a little bit of preview of what's been going on the past several months as Plainfield football is prepared for another season, what went into your decision to say, hey, this is going to be my last year as the head coach of the Plainfield Quakers?
Boy, that's a really complicated question. at the end of last year, I had pretty much resigned the fact that was going to be my last one, and just got to thinking about it and having some discussions with a variety of different people, many of which, you know, were my bosses, my athletic director, my building principal, our superintendent, you know, a lot of those folks, and just came to a kind of a conclusion that if it would work out, I'd like to, you know, come back. I'll do it another year. And we started throwing around the idea of maybe some people call it an associate head coach, some people call it a coach in waiting. And I said, hey, if that's something that interests you, then I'd be happy to, you know, make that possible. So it was kind of a crazy couple months there. But in terms of my personal decision, why to call it, you know, this one the last one, it's time for me personally, and it's time for our program to, I don't want to say move in a different direction, but time for a new voice and some new people to come in and put their stamp on things.
And I don't mean to turn this into some big, deep philosophical discussion, but how much of it is, look, you know, I've asked my wife for 17 years now, basically, which that doesn't seem possible, but it has been, to make these sacrifices. My one son is now grown in the sense he's in college. You've still got a daughter that's in school. How much is it of like, look, I've asked enough and he's out now and it's time for me to give back a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of it. And, you know, every coach in America seems like when they step down, they always use the, you know, they play the family card. Well, you know, I got to spend more time with the family. And, I've been very lucky. You know, I've had an incredibly supportive mother-in-law, two parents, both my mom and dad, you know, being here locally, obviously my wife, my two kids. I mean, just, I honestly could have never done it without those people. So there is a little bit to, hey, maybe it's time for me to give back to them. But I love the grind. I love the grind of football. I love being around the players, the other coaches. So really, like, for me, it wasn't a time thing, like, hey, there's just not enough time. But there is that part of it, like, hey, there's some other people in my life that deserve some attention to some of the things that they want to do. And it's just hard to give all of those minutes and hours, when you're wrapped up and involved at the level I am as a head football coach.
There was part of you, too, that's probably intrigued to come back and say, look, you have a kid at quarterback who may be one of the most phenomenally talented players you've ever had. How much of a part of that was, man, I'd like to coach this kid again because he's so intriguing?
Well, and as you know, and many people, by the time they listen to this show, you know, we had two quarterbacks last year. Hunter Newell was our starter at the beginning of last year. He gets hurt. Carson Melvin comes in and plays, and then they both wound up splitting reps with Hunter being our starter at the end of the year. Carson Melvin is no longer with our program. Hunter Newell is our starter and was our starter, earned that spot. Again, you know, every year you have to earn your spot, so to speak, and earn that in the off season. And, Hunter is a phenomenal talent, you know, a different kind of quarterback than Carson was. But in terms of what he brings to the table for us, you're absolutely right. You know, we talked at the end of last year about, you know, when you make investments in players, it's hard to like, you know, wave goodbye and say, hey, best of luck to you. We have some really outstanding young players that had to play last year. You know, we started two freshman offensive linemen. You know, I'm excited to see what those guys do moving forward. So a lot of those younger guys, it is nice to see that investment pay off.
Yeah, in terms of Hunter's progress, you know, you look at his ability, and obviously you had two quarterbacks who were very different kind of in how they played and what they brought to the table. But in terms of a traditional quarterback who can still move quite a bit and move the ball down the field, I don't know if you've ever had a quarterback as intriguing.
Hunter is, you know, where I was so impressed with him last year. I love the fact that the ball came out and it came out on time. That was really important. He is sneaky, athletic, very fast. He's put on some weight in the offseason in a good way that I think will make him a little bit more durable runner. Last year, he not that he wasn't durable, but you know, when you weigh 175 pounds versus 205, it's a football physics deal, right? So, you know, he definitely ranks up there at the top of our you know, we had Ben Slayton several years ago that had a big time arm, you know, was growing in terms of his decision making, and then of course, you know, was no longer with us to finish out his career. But Hunter really is the total package and doesn't get enough credit. So I'm super pumped for him.
When you're preparing an offseason that you know is going to be your last, do you do anything different? I mean, you're not a numbers guy. I bet if I ask you right now how many career wins you got, you don't know. I know because I'm looking at it. But do you do anything different, or you just say, look, this is another year of playing field football. We got these kids. Is there anything different than any other year?
It's a fantastic question. The short answer to that is no. You know, I have a process. We have a process that we go through that, you know, whether that you look at from a strength and conditioning into things or just from the X's and O's into things, you know, so that process for the most part is the same. Now, where it changes is, you know, new coaches on staff. And we have a new offensive coordinator this year, you know, Coach Bless being on the defensive side of the ball. So adding new faces in, that's what changes things. Different schemes, different ideas, but the overarching, you know, the North Stars of the program, you know, remain the same. So the only things that for me that change are just some of the faces are new. And again, some of those ideas that you bring into the fold are new, which is what makes coaching such a great job, is you have new faces, new ideas, and new ways of looking at things.
One of the things that I love about the show we've been doing together all these years is you always answer whatever question I ask, and you never ask me in advance, what are you going to ask? So I'll just ask this question. If it's not an appropriate question, it's fine. When they pick the new head coach, the associate head coach, whatever you want to call him, are you involved in that process? Plainfield is not your program, but it feels like, I mean, obviously you've been there 16 years. This will be 17 years. You've been a beloved member of the community. You know, you've got some stake, a huge stake in the future of Plainfield football. Are you involved in that process?
Well, as I alluded to at the beginning of the show, you know, the ultimately what kind of started the ball rolling on all this was just some conversations that were had with myself and the people that I work for. And, you know, they had enough belief and confidence in me and how our program was ran that, hey, we would like for if it were to work, you know, and that was made very clear by me of, hey, this if this isn't the right person, this is not going to work and it won't be good for me. It won't be good for our program. It won't be good for the school. So it had to be the perfect fit. So, you know, they were very open to, hey, we'll help you, but we're all going to come at this from the same point. We're going to try to help each other to find that right person. So to answer your question, yes, I was involved and I was very fortunate to have that opportunity to be involved, you know, and that was intriguing to me, not to stroke my ego, but just to very, and you kind of hit the nail on the head. You know, I've been here since 1997. That's a long freaking time. And, this program is really important to me, and I wanted to see it move in a direction, as I said earlier, that it's a positive thing, and I wanted to see our players get to know this guy. And really, you know, when you think about how things normally get done, you know, when a season wraps up in November and December, you don't really get to hire your next head coach until January or February, and he's not even in the building until the following June in many cases. So you're way behind, and I feel like we're in a situation right now where we're not behind. We're going to be that much further ahead, and I'm excited for our players, our program, and the existing staff that will hopefully stay on as Coach Bless takes over next year.
All right, let's talk about Coach Bless real quick, and then we'll get to kind of some of the things you guys have been doing to get the team ready for the upcoming season. Tell us a little bit about him. Obviously, he's got a great pedigree, and just let us know a little bit about the new coach.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Coach Bless is married. He's got two little ones. One, I think, that is really little, as in like maybe 3 months now as we tape this show. Just got moved in here to Plainfield. You know, as I said, a young guy. I think Coach Bless is 32 years old, very similar to the age that I was, you know, as I started things. But the nice thing I think about Coach Bless is he's young, but he's had a variety of coaching experiences. Most recently, he's been the offensive coordinator at Columbus North, where he was, you know, and that's a big school program, obviously. So that's good. You know, you come in, you have those same or similar kind of experiences that we would have here, similar kinds of players, those type of things. But also had a quite diverse, you know, coaching background as a younger coach, even younger than he is now, at several different colleges, which I thought was a really intriguing kind of deal of having somebody that's seen it at the next level and had an opportunity to coach it there and be a part of what those programs do. We try to run our program like a small college program as much as we can. You know, so those were all things that were very important to me as I looked at, hey, who might we want this person to be? And I think finally, Coach Bless is super organized. He's in it for the right reasons. He cares a lot about kids. And like I said, it's going to be a great transition.
You know, is that weird for you? You mentioned his age, and he's the same age as basically when you took over at Plainfield. And I'm starting to see that in the radio business now, where due to my immaturity, I still think of myself as a very young person. But I realize now, you know, I work with some people that are, you know, in some cases, 10 years younger than me. And I look at it and I go, wow, it's like a circle of life thing. And I always feel some obligation to help those people the same way as older people helped me. And it's sort of the same way in coaching.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're in this for the right reasons, you know, and you have that kind of growth mentality, and there was a phrase 1,000 years ago in my fraternity, and it was called, you know, replace yourself. And the whole concept behind that was, you know, you find someone to bring into the fraternity to take your place, somebody of equal or greater character or whatever it is. And not that that's an exact situation here, but you look to kind of help out that next generation of coaches, you know, and we've got a lot of young guys on staff that, you know, I look around and I ask them about, you know, when you were born, and I almost like don't answer that. You know, father time is undefeated. You know, we're all going to get older. But yeah, there's a lot of good that comes from being able, and I don't want to use the word mentor because I'm like kind of like you. I think of myself as a young person. I'm like, who am I to mentor anybody? But at least to give these young coaches an opportunity and let them know what I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and hopefully from that combination of things that they can go on and, you know, forge out an existence in this profession.
All right, let's talk about the team and what we've got coming in. Well, obviously, we talked about the quarterback situation. That's in football where it all starts. But let's talk about both sides of the ball, what we got coming back, and what's got you excited for the upcoming year.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of alluded to it a little bit ago when we were talking about some of those younger players. But, you know, we were ultra inexperienced last year on our offensive line. You know, this year we return 3 out of our 5 starters, so that's always great when you return, you know, that number of players. You know, we had some really dynamic players at wide receiver last year. Cale Vanderbush obviously graduates, but we do return Noah Hessong. You know, so Noah's going to be one of those guys that will see a variety of different roles, both at wide receiver, and we'll probably play some running back as well. And the other name to mention that is, I think people are just going to be floored by, Grant Irwin. Grant is a multi-sport kid. A lot of people know him as a basketball player, but he's also a really good track athlete. Grant's going to have a phenomenal year at wide receiver. So offensively, I'm real super, super excited. The one glaring hole is, you know, where does the running back position kind of shake out? And, you know, there's still some time for that, but that'll certainly get filled. There's guys there to take that. It's just who's going to earn the start there.
So, Coach, on the offensive side of the ball, and I guess it's true on defense too, but it's just more prevalent, it seems like, on offense. You know, I think back to those teams you had when we first started covering you guys, 08, 9, 10, and you look at the win totals, and it was like you were always so close, but you never had everybody at the same time. Like, there were some years where it's like, boy, we got a great senior offensive line. Hey, but we got a sophomore quarterback. Or, boy, we've got a senior quarterback and some great wideouts. Boy, the offensive line's all freshmen. How much of it in your coaching career in high school, because you don't really recruit, is just luck that we get, you know, an entire senior-laden team, or we get those, you know, a couple times?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's 100%. I mean, you know, we are, I've always tried to be a big player development program. And that just, you know, everyone's like, well, who doesn't develop their players? Well, you're right. But my point is, you know, Plainfield is a school and a corporation and a town that is not very big.
Yeah.
We get a lot of move-ins. It's hard to find a house. I mean, Coach Bless will tell you, it was a pickle for him to find a house to even buy here. So, you know, I have to take the players that I get to come over here from Plainfield Community Middle School, and I need to get those guys to stay in school here, and I need to develop those guys. And the simple fact of the matter is, you know, when James first, you know, showed up here, you know, James, obviously, you know, everyone will remember. I mean, he's still, you know, he still plays in the NFL. I mean, you know, that was just by the sheer grace of God. And the fact that he had an older brother, Nelson, that was also incredibly talented. I mean, what do you do, right? They just happen to live in your township. So, yeah, a lot of it is luck. And when in terms of stacking classes, that's the key. And for football coaches, when you can stack two classes back to back, that's where you wind up having at least a puncher's chance or having a really good chance at a championship caliber season. Because, again, in theory, if those players stick with it and they follow your program and they do what they're supposed to do, you know, you put a lot of good players in a position to play for you on Friday nights where you're not having to play a lot of really young guys. And that's the hard part. Anytime you have to start a lot of young guys, it just makes things more difficult. Not impossible, just harder.
Let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. What do we got coming back? What are we looking forward to?
Yeah. Well, you know, you talk about strengths and weaknesses of teams. Our strength in this defensive group is certainly on our defensive line. Chris Strange and Isaac Mascalier, two starters from last year, really good football players, will do great things. I mean, Chris will wind up being a three-year starter, Isaac a two-year starter, two different kinds of bodies. Chris is a really, really big guy, 300-plus pounder. Isaac is built a little bit more kind of like a linebacker, you know, kind of in that 230 range, really counting a lot on those guys. And then some really dynamic players kind of in the middle of our defense with Caden Vanderbush and Landon Drennan, two long kids. They both could kind of be an outside linebacker or will be an outside linebacker slash safety. Those two guys can cover ground. Landon will play a little bit more on the front end of the defense, kind of as a defensive end, or Caden, again, I kind of mentioned, will be in kind of that strong safety role. The other guy I would mention, you know, we've got some, you know, we look at older guys that have played some football. Gavin Hendry's not played a lot, but he's a senior. You know, that changes things. He'll be at my position, which I'm coaching outside linebackers this year. And then Harrison Herbeck. Harrison had a phenomenal track season, was one of our key cogs on our state championship track team. And Harrison last year played safety, might transition to a role as corner. So a lot of kids there that some of them have played a lot of football. Some of them are just getting that first chance. And I feel good about our defense. They've got, you know, I mentioned having some of those younger guys. We've got some younger guys, some inexperienced guys that are going to have to grow up really quick.
All right, I'll get you out of here with this, and this is some philosophical question that's probably ridiculous, but I'll ask it anyway. Like, the game of football is so much different than when you started in 2006, especially the game of high school football. I mean, you guys were, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Hey, Plainfield plays a two-hour game. You know, when our games would be coming in, Plainfield's always first. You know, run, 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 run. Now it's, you know, spread offense. Everybody's doing it. Do you like the game of football better now than when you started?
Boy, that's a fantastic question.
That's what I do. Honest,
yeah, you do a good job of it, too. That's why I stuck with it for so long. You know, there are aspects of the game that I don't really like now compared to what it was, you know, 15 plus years ago. I know we've talked about it before on this show that the thing that I don't like as much about the game right now is the impact that technology has had on the game. And I don't want to say it's easier to be a coach now, but it's almost like you just get flooded with data. I mean, if you could spend 3 days with us on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and see how much data that we crunch and the numbers and the information, the reports that get fed back to us through our software, it's just kind of crazy. And it's hard to manage those things, like to figure out and say, this is the information that's important to us. That's that part of it is just, to me, just incredible. You know, players are players, kids are kids. I mean, that part of it has not changed. The scheme of how offenses are ran, as you mentioned, is a lot different. I still think the same foundational principles are apply, you know, whether it's 2022 or 2002. You know, the things that you have to be good at, protecting the passer, taking care of the football, knocking guys off the ball, tackling them, and it's all those same things, right? Turn on a game this Saturday or in the fall, Saturdays or on Sundays, you're going to hear those guys talk about the same things that high school coaches are trying to get you know, coached up. So, yeah, the game has changed a lot. There's a lot to continue to like about it, but there are some aspects that I could live without.
Well, I'm super excited, Coach. I'm so glad we got to do it one more time. It's going to be a great year. Yep. We'll obviously get into Greenfield Central on our first coaches show. We'll get all the sponsors mentioned, the behind-the-scenes people. But I always love doing these preseason shows. I just think it's phenomenal. And, man, we'll look forward to hear about a month talking to you and getting ready for a great season of Plainfield football.
You bet, Rob. Thank you so much.